Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, eternal God and creator of all things visible and invisible, the ruler of all things for the good of the church, we thank you for your certain and holy word through which we have life and the assurance of your love and salvation. Forgive us the times when we have doubted you, have feared the future, and have not come to you in prayer. We praise you for giving yourself over to death, so that by your resurrection we may confidently believe that you have won the victory over sin and death. Increase our faith in your word, so that all times and in all trials we may always rely on your promise of salvation and help. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 8th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 23rd verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to him, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear followers of our mighty Savior, this week we were confronted with the weather and all the troubles that it gave us. The snowstorm, the bitter cold, the strong winds, the stores closing, all disrupted the lives of many people. Stores and schools closed, pipes froze, some houses were without electricity. All of this should help us to appreciate all the more the blessings that we have now that it's warmed up 100 degrees. But this week we also felt another hurt. Our organist died this week. She has been with us for 30 years. She has blessed our worship, and the Lord now took her home. We thank the Lord for doing this and giving her a heavenly home. But we are left numb at the swiftness of how this came about. So that even though she had been dealing with cancer for many years, just 4 weeks ago, she was playing for our service, and now she's gone. In our text, Jesus' disciples were also faced with death. They feared for their lives in a raging storm. When Jesus rescued them, they asked the important question, who can this be? We let our text answer that question for us as we consider that question, who can Jesus be? And in our text we see that he is the one who hears our prayers, he is the one who delivers us from danger, and he is the one who can calm our fears. The incident in our text comes from a long day of Jesus' life in Capernaum. Last Sunday we heard from the same chapter of Matthew how Jesus healed a man in the synagogue and then went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. And then at the end of the day, crowds brought people to Jesus and he healed them all and drove out demons from them as well. That evening, Jesus desired to go to Gadarene, a place on the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee. And so not only did his disciples go with Jesus in a boat, St. Mark informs us that other people in other boats followed Jesus and the disciples as well. Not long afterwards, Jesus was asleep in the boat. This teaches us that Jesus is truly a man someone who becomes tired. And it is important for us to know that Jesus is a human being that is one of us. The Bible says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus knows what it means to become weary, and he was doing this for us. But not long after the disciples set out in their boat, their calm journey was crashed by the waves of the sea. Now, this is a almost everyday occurrence on the Sea of Galilee. There is a wind tunnel that comes from the wind coming from the Sea of Mediterranean Sea, coming through this tunnel and focuses it and then bursts upon the Sea of Galilee. And it is dangerous even today with motorboats to be on the sea when these winds arise. Now, there was no reason to expect such a wind late at night. And the disciples were surprised that all of this happened, and they were filled with fear, because as they bailed out, as they tried to do everything they knew what to do to keep from drowning and from being swamped, they finally realized there was no more hope. The boat was gradually filling with water. The waves seemed to grow larger. The boat was not far from capsizing and sending everyone to the grave. Even the skilled fishermen could not keep this disaster from happening. Their fear of the death was so great, their need drove them to go to the back of the boat where Jesus was sleeping and say, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." And this wasn't just an idle prayer. They truly believed they were near death. Have we faced similar times when there seemed to be nothing that we can do and no way to correct our problem or to solve it? Sometimes God allows trials to go so far until we realize that we have only our hope is in God. Sometimes we need to see that it isn't our strength that is able to solve a problem or our wisdom, but only through hope in God. We need to ask ourselves whether we also deserve that phrase which Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." When something goes wrong, do we wonder whether or not God still loves us? If the world rejects what we believe, do we sometimes doubt whether our faith is the right one? When the world wants to change the way we worship or how we do things, do we give in and are ready to listen to what the world says instead of listening to what God says? Are we all too often filled with fear because we're not listening to God's word every day? Truly, if God should mark iniquities for each one of us, who of us could stand before God cleansed from sin? If Jesus had not saved us, who of us could face eternal death and realize that we would deserve eternal death? Dear friends, amid all the sorrows and sufferings and afflictions of this life, you and I can turn to Jesus in prayer because he is the one who saved us. Jesus has already promised, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And James adds, "Let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds." The disciples were driven and tossed by the winds on the Sea of Galilee. But they, even in their fear, they knew who to whom they should go. And they prayed to the Lord, the one who delivers from danger. You see, the disciples knew the right one to be able to go to. And they did go in prayer, asking, "Lord, save us." Jesus not only heard their prayers, he also had the power to save them and deliver them from this death. He could stand up in the boat and calmly rebuke the wind and the waves, and everything was still. All was calm. Now, this goes against physics. Even if the wind would die down on any sea, there is enough energy in the waves that they would keep going on for a long time. You can just experiment that in a tub or other type of basin. But here, Jesus not only calmed the wind, but also the waves. In one minute, the disciples were afraid of death. In the next minute, all was calm, and they could continue in their journey. Who is this Jesus? He must be God himself, the creator of the universe, the ruler of all things, the one who obey the wind and the waves obey. Now, if Jesus has so much power as God that he can do all things like this, why do we find him nailed to a cross? In fact, his enemies, as they stood under the cross, mocked him for that reason. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. They wrongly concluded that because Jesus did not come off the cross, he could not be their Messiah, and he could not be the God he claimed to be. They could not understand why Jesus would suffer and die willingly. Even his disciples didn't understand that. 3 days later, as the disciples were returning to Emmaus, they told a stranger, "We were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." But they had no hope. It was lost because the one that they were following had died. However, the message of the gospel is that by Jesus' death, he won the victory over our enemies, Satan, sin, and death. Now, as God, Jesus had power to destroy those enemies. But God worked a different way. He sent his only begotten Son into the world, born of a woman, born in Bethlehem of the in the city of David, brought into the world to suffer and die in our place as our substitute for our sins. The holy requirements of the law were met in Jesus, not only by his innocent life where he kept the law for us, but also by his innocent death, where he paid the ransom price for our sins. His holy blood, the blood of the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin because it was shed for us. He paid the punishment for our sins. The Bible says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we through his suffering might become righteous. Jesus paid the punishment so that God could forgive us our sins. All this is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ, as St. Paul wrote. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. The promise that we have by faith is that we have forgiveness of sins through God, and where there is forgiveness of sins, there is eternal life. Have we come today with problems that crush us in our life? Have we come today overwhelmed by troubles that we're facing? Are we at a loss of what to do? We can pray to Jesus and say, Lord, save us. He is the one who can answer our prayers, who will hear us. He is the one who will give us eternal life and peace in our hearts. When Jesus had calmed the storm, he had ended the great fear of the disciples. But he needed to teach them something as well. And that's why he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" The disciples might have replied, "Well, that's easy for you to say, Jesus. You saved us. You calmed the sea. You can do that. But we could do nothing. We would have drowned." But Jesus wanted to teach them this, that no matter what had happened, they were in God's hands. Had they drowned, they would not needed to have feared, because God was going to take them to heaven. Now, that wasn't the answer that God needed. God needed Jesus to be alive, to be able to go to the cross and to suffer and die for the people. And so, through God's grace and mercy, they were spared this from drowning. After Jesus died and rose again, we are to believe that he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You and I can face death calmly because God has defeated it. Death cannot harm us. Indeed, death is now the gateway to heaven for those who believe in Jesus. The disciples who saw Jesus alive, most of them ended their life with cruel experiences of death. Painful. And those executioners who put these apostles to death were amazed that they could face death so calmly. But they could do it because they had seen Jesus alive. They knew that there was life after death, that Jesus would take them to heaven. Now, I have to be careful here. When we face death, there will be fear. There can be wondering. And we can't say, well, that's a sin. But in spite of the fear that we naturally have as sinful human beings, in spite of the not knowing what is going to happen to us beyond our death, we can be calm amid all of our doubts and sufferings and temptations and whatever the devil throws at us. Calm because we know what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus has already taken care of our problem. He has answered our prayer before we even said, Lord, save us. And because he rose from the dead, we know there is life after death. We know that Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for his children. We know that Jesus will take us there because he promised. So Jesus calms our fears no matter what happens in our life. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when the water is added, when the word of God is added to the water of baptism, it becomes a gracious water of life that gives us the cleansing and washing of the forgiveness of sins, makes us heirs of eternal life because we are united with Jesus and all that he did to save us. When the words of institution are added to the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, there we have Jesus himself coming from heaven, coming to us to give us the assurance that our sins are forgiven, to give us the strength to deal with whatever we have to face in our life, and to give us the assurance that where Jesus is, there we will be also. Jesus had the authority to institute these sacraments because he is God. And he instituted those sacraments to give you that assurance as well. In spite of our fears and in spite of the troubles that we face, God is with us. God loves us. God will keep his promises. God's word is true. We can trust in him. Peter wrote to believers who were going to experience some troubles and persecution as Christians. And he wrote these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." Who can Jesus be? He is the one who created all things. He is the one who gave his life for us. He is the one who promises to answer our prayers. He is the one who is the Lord of the church. He is the one who exists to all time and eternity to bring us to heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, we can trust in him, in his word, and in his salvation. King David said, "The Lord redeems my soul, the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him will be condemned or ashamed or disappointed. Believe in him, and he will save us. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen."